This is Right on Four Corners on KSJE. This is Tracy Hales-Vass. Today, I have two guests on the line, William Mattson and Floyd Clown. Together, they have written, and we'll figure out how they did this in just a minute, the book Crazy Horse, The Lakota Warrior's Life and Legacy. The Edward Clown family is told to William Mattson. Please, William, tell us how this all came to be.
It all started with me before I was born. My dad was in the 7th Cavalry during World War II, and at basic training they used to ask who won the Battle of Little Bighorn. And he said that the Indians did, and that was the wrong answer. And he was punished for it, and apparently he held a grudge that he passed along to his son. And near the end of his life, he tried writing a book on the Battle of Little Bighorn, but he wasn't able to finish it. Yeah. And so he asked me to do it on his deathbed. He had lymphoma. So, you know, you don't say no. And so that's how I got started in it, and I didn't know anybody, but I read about 300 books, and I got on the internet, and the first person I went to was in the Northern Cheyenne Reservation, and he said he had some stories, and I went out there, and he was at Dull Knife College, and he said to read the books in the library. I'd come from Portland, Oregon, so that was the beginning. Mm-hmm. I did read all the books. I found somebody else on the internet and went to Cheyenne River Reservation in South Dakota, and that guy stood me up. So I went to Bear Butte because I was supposed to be a spiritual place for the Lakota, and I hadn't really been doing much in the way of looking at the spiritual side of it. I'd kind of been skipping over that. And halfway up, my dad spoke to me and said, "Open your heart." And I knew what that meant. It meant that I needed to know the spiritual side. So I went back and read everything I could on it and came back the following year and was talking to the head ranger there, Jim Jandro, and he said, "I got something for you." He went in his office and gave me Doug Warrigal's number, who's Floyd's brother, and they invited me out and went in a sweat and to see if my heart was good. That was one of the prerequisites. And
the prerequisite before they told you the story?
Yeah, I had brought a script out.
Uh-huh.
I'm a documentary filmmaker.
Right.
And Floyd looked at the script and he read the three words and threw it on the table and said, "This is garbage. You know, I spent a year of my life doing it too." And so he said if I wanted the real story, then I'd have to throw that out. And if my heart was good, they'd tell it to me. So the Sweat Lodge was the place that we went to find that out, or they went to find it out. And I happened to be in there. And after we got done, I really liked it, but after we got done, nobody said anything about how my heart was. And we were eating, and I said, "You know, if I knew your language, I would have sang with you." And the firekeeper, the guy that stays on the outside of the Sweat Lodge, told me they didn't allow him to go in there because he sang Merle Haggard. So to me, that was pretty funny, and I realized at that point I'd been accepted. So that's the story from where I came from.
And Floyd, what did you think about William when you first heard his ideas?
We knew that from our way of prayer, that they were going to send us help from four directions, and he came from the west direction.
All right.
So he had mentioned that we knew that he was coming when he came, but we had to check him out, you know, his heart, and that's what, how we ended up doing a sled, and he's the one that's supposed to make a movie out of the book, off the book. And there was another guy that came from the east direction that was supposed to write the book, but he got called back into the service and was sent to Afghanistan and like that. So his way of thinking or looking at life, I guess, changed, because life or death over there. So we knew he couldn't do what how it was supposed to be done. So Bill, he was with us as we put this all together. We found our relatives where they were buried and like that. That the truth of our family, and this is what he got to see with us. And after our friend got sent to Afghanistan, then we asked him to write the book, since he's seen all the sites and places that was in our oral history. So that's how he became to write our book for us.
And the voice in the book is unique. In fact, William, would you read a little bit from there so our listeners can hear the voice of this?
Well, I can read the book. I guess it's my voice that's reading it right now. I guess in the abstract, we had decided on 17 or something. I've never done this before at any of our book signings. We've had 86 or anything else, so this is the first time.
Well, when I was reading the book. Okay.
Here we go. Okay.
Go ahead.
We had chosen page 17.
Okay.
Unfortunately, during our more recent history, some of our people were taken from their parents at a young age by missionaries to attend faraway English-speaking schools, thus losing their chance to learn our oral history at a young age. Our family was fortunate because we were able to raise our own children in our Lakota way. Our children's minds were not poisoned by allowing outsiders to define us or our history. These other cultures also criticize our people's oral history because sometimes when it is told by different families, the different histories do not totally match. We think these other cultures should look into the mirror. None of their history books are the same, and when they are, they end up suing each other for plagiarism. Our people's history is rich and diverse. Each family has its own story to tell. To us, Tishunka Witko, or Crazy Horse, as his name is loosely translated into English, is not only a spiritual name, but it is our Tiwahi, or family name. The Crazy Horse name was passed from generation to generation. Our Lakota names do not include suffixes like junior or senior, so it can be confusing. In this book, we will tell about three generations of headmen named Crazy Horse. The youngest of the three Crazy Horse is the one that most people outside of our family know about. He was preceded by a grandfather and a father who also carried the same name. Our first family member to carry the Tishunka Witko name was born in the western part of the Black Hills, where our winter camp was located in the late 1760s. He was a member of the Minikoju band of our Lakota people. Our winter camp at that time was located near Hot Springs, South Dakota. Many outsiders mispronounce our band name, Minikoju, as Minikonju, listening to them pronounce it is one way we quietly recognize the difference between those who have spent time among us and those who learned about us through the library. When we say it, the N is silent. So for the sake of this book, we will spell it in the same way that we say it among ourselves. Our many Kozhu bands' ways were not always the same as other Lakota bands, just as our family ways were not always the same as other families. Yet we all understood that we were one nation, and that's all that mattered. As a young man, our first Tushinka Witko or Crazy Horse was fearless when it came to protecting our family, our people, and our camp. During that time, he was a warrior. There were 17 council fires in our band. Each council fire had a head man. Our first Crazy Horse was the head of our family and council fire at a young age. Our family was not a large one at that time, at least not like it is now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I found this very interesting that you've taken on, you've written it in first person.
I wrote it the way that the family told it to me.
That's what
and
I wondered.
I tried to take as much as my footprint out as I possibly could. I wanted the reader to feel as though they were getting it directly from the family.
And it does feel
and
like
then,
that.
And then they had last say. So this is their story.
And Floyd, were you side by side with William as he wrote this?
Yeah. We were told to do this with truth, so we had to make sure that everything he put down was the truth, and how we explained it and like that. So this is what we double checked to make sure that it was the truth that was being put down.
So it took a while to write the book then with the two of you, right?
There was my two younger brothers with me too.
Mm-hmm.
That were part of that, and today we're the administrators for the family, the Pedro's family, and we represent 3,000 blood family today. That's under our blood tree for Crazy Horse.
And I know in the back of the book, there's all kinds of legal documents, copies of legal documents that show these connections.
Yeah. We're currently in federal court right now, and I'm just waiting for the closing date, determining the blood heirs of the Crazy Horse estate. And under the federal law, probates and enrollments and allotments, censuses, ration listings, and church records are the legal documents recognized by the federal law as a proof of your identity. So this is what we use to make our tree and make sure that we're telling the truth.
So how does the oral history that's been shared for so long, recorded here, differ from the widely accepted biography of Crazy Horse?
This is the truth because it's directly from the family, and everything that was written before we made this book says that he was an Ogala and like that, and under the Lakota Nation, there's no such ban as Ogala or Sichango. Those are government-made tribes, paper tribes that the government acknowledged and put two people in front of those paper tribes. But oral history is directly from the family, and we try to put it down as truthful as we can, because that's how the oral histories are handed down, the truth. Nothing could be added on or taken away.
Right.
And that's how families' oral histories are handed down. So we try to make it like that, because originally We made this book for our family, our children, grandchildren, that they would know their family, their identity, where they come from and like that. And but when we completed it, they told us to share with the world. So that's where we've been.
And William was the one to write it down. So this, there were actually four of you then. You, your two brothers, and then you, William.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were they hard on you, William?
Yes.
Good.
That's not an exaggeration. but, you know, it was 6 months of corrections after it was written. But I will say, another difference is the accuracy of what they're saying, truth. When you stop and look at the other books, they were taken from different interviews done by an interpreter that that they probably didn't know, given to an American or somebody of a different culture that looked at what this interpreter was saying through their lens, through a different culture's lens. So the motivations and things were different.
Right.
And so, and this is family where everything was understood. When you're in the family, everybody understands the same language and even the same words, everything. Same actions, what they meant. So the accuracy was there. And Edward Clown was the nephew of Crazy Horse.
Okay.
And Floyd is the son.
Okay.
So the difference in time period is basically the same as somebody say that rode with him, because you know, there are other people that rode with Crazy Horse that were in the family. That were like a brother, like Conan was a brother to, or not a, a brother to Iron Cedar, and he knew Edward. So,
and why did it take so long then for the story to come out from the original sources?
I think that belongs to Floyd, yeah.
Yeah, 2001 is when we were told to tell our identity, who we are. When we got into this federal court case, determined the blood heirs of the Crazy Horse Estate. And it's the same case that was with the Harnell Brewing Company, where they made that Crazy Horse malt liquor. And the Crazy Horse Estate, the family, won the case. And at that time, the administrator of the Crazy Horse Estate, we knew that he wasn't from our family. And federal law says that if you're going to be an administrator of an estate, you have to be of blood from that estate. So this is where we won the case in 2001. And then since then to now, we're determining the blood heirs of the Crazy Horse Estate, where... we're the only family that has a blood tree in this court case. Nobody else could show a tree of any kind pertaining to our family. So, like when we were told to do this, they said, no more assumptions, it's time for truth now. So this is when we were told to stand up and in this court case and tell who we are now, our identity, true identity.
And William and Floyd, will you both be at Amy's on February 20th?
Yeah.
Okay, you go to Amy's Bookstore on February 20th at 4 p.m. And then the following week, you'll be in Durango at the Durango Public Library at 6:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Now, William, as you were talking to Floyd and his brothers, did you learn a lot that you thought you knew and didn't?
I learned a lot that I thought I knew, and I learned a lot that I had no idea. So yes, and the thing that struck me the most is coming from a non-Lakota background, you have a tendency to not believe in their spiritual ways. But it's as I got closer to it, I found that their spiritual ways were far more important to the way of life and the decisions that were made than anything else.
And that comes through in the...
To skip over it is a disservice, not only to the Lakota, but to the people that want to know about the Lakota. And it puts it all in this American culture that really, you know, doesn't know the Lakota culture.
Well, the spirituality of it comes through very clearly in the writing. I think it's very unique take on it. The book is full of great stories, and there's some humor in it, some details, but yes, the spirituality of it does come through. I think it's very important. You've really captured the voice of the people in this.
Well, they captured the voice. I'm just the messenger.
And it reads like that, right? So he did okay, huh, Floyd?
Yeah, he didn't do what he was supposed to do.
That's good. Yeah.
Thanks, Floyd.
Yeah.
Very good. So, William, your past history is in as a documentary filmmaker, and you were studying Native Americans also, such as Sitting Bull before?
Well, I didn't really get into the Native. I don't know if you can call them Native American. They weren't waiting on the shores for Columbus to arrive.
Right.
So we kind of refer to them Native Lakota or,
okay,
you know, like that. But I didn't get into it until after my father had asked me on his deathbed, because it was always my dad's deal.
I see.
You know, I was the son. I got my own things going on. So when he, on his deathbed, when he asked me to do it, that's when I got into it. And so I'm just the kind of person that when I get into it, I get up past my eyeballs. So
absolutely. And you've done a very thorough. What happens now? What are your plans next?
Well, we're gonna go on the tour, and I'm working on a book of my adventure into this, and we're going to be doing a documentary as the family's going to be featured in an exhibition at the Holder Art Museum in Helena, Montana. So we're probably going to do like a fundraiser Kickstarter type thing to be able to do that and bring that to all the people, because not everybody can go to Helen and see that.
Right. Oh, that's great. Well, we look forward to the documentary, and we look forward to seeing the two of you at Amy's Bookstore on February 20th.
And you'll see Doug War Eagle also, his brother.
War Eagle too?
Yeah,
Doug War Eagle.
Great.
And not just us. A bonus there.
That is. That's exciting. We'll ask him questions too. And
yes.
Then in Durango on February 27th, Durango Public Library at 6:30 that evening.
Yes, that's a spot hosted by Marie's.
Well, we're just about to the end. Is there anything you guys want to add?
Go ahead, Floyd. Yeah. Thank you for allowing us on your radio show, and there's time for truth now, so this is what we're telling of our family, the truth of our family, our identity, and like that. So I encourage whoever, that they have a safe trip over there when we're there, and a safe trip home, and like that. And we already did 86 book signings before this.
Amazing.
We've been on the road quite a bit and promoting our book and our family and like that. So.
Well, I thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to meeting you in person.
All right.
Yep. All right.
Yes. See you there.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Tracy, for having us.
Thank you. This is Tracy Hales Fast on KSJE, right on Four Corners.